home of the Gallybagger, Vectors Radio, now on DAB.
This lunchtime we have Lisa Beeney in. You're back for part two now.
I am, yes.
So part two's the serious bit, although we got a bit serious last time. So look, last time we were in, you were telling us about these solar panels that you can buy from supermarkets. This is apparently where you're going to be able to buy them from, and just take them home and plug them straight in. But
yes,
they're not on the market yet because there has to be some legislation passed. Where are we with that now?
Well, we have been told that the government has approved everything they need to. We're just waiting for the electrical regs to be updated so that they can be fitted legally. But yes, they will be available in supermarkets. I would expect B&Q to sell them. You'll be able to drive along, buy one, go home, plug it in, and it will start generating electricity for you.
Okay, and what we said last time was that the reason why they're not at the moment, because there's a plug one end and it will be attached to something that's creating electric, and it'll be a concern about getting an electric shock.
Yes, they've just got to approve the technology that's going to be built into it. That means that as soon as you go to unplug it, it would cut the production of power from that panel. Otherwise, there's a chance that you could, if you worked hard enough at it, touch two pins at the same time and electrocute yourself while you were unplugging it.
Okay, I've got a silly question.
Yeah.
Not to do, what it is to do with solar panels. We've got a lot of seagulls around our place, and they do leave a lot of mess.
Yeah.
And I noticed that I looked at our solar panels, and they are absolutely covered. Is that going to affect them generating electric?
Yes, it will do. And depends how covered they are as to how much it will affect it. But it's a good idea to give them a clean now and again. If you've got a window cleaner that can do it, that'd be the easiest option. We've got a brush on a long pole that we use for cleaning the top of a camper van, and that can almost reach all of our solar panels, and we will just attach a hose to that and give them a wash and a brush off. But you might find this weather's done the job for you.
Well, I'll have a look when I get back, because obviously where it was dry and the heat is going to dry it out and it's going to be like concrete.
Yeah.
The amount of rain that we had yesterday, I'm hoping, yes, it's washed it off. But
yeah,
I've never even thought about it. You see the odd splodge here and there and you think, oh, that'll be all right, it'll be gone there. But gone in a couple of days and it'll be fine. But if it is covered, like you say, it is making a difference. So you should clean them. What should you... I know this is a stupid question. We've never talked about this before. What should you clean it with? Can you just clean it with water? Can you use some kind of detergent, or would that affect it?
We use just water. I don't know anybody that cleans solar panels professionally, but they are very similar to a window, I would think. So logic says that anything that is safe to be used on a window, you could use on a solar panel. And try, if you're squirting water on them, keep the water on top and don't squirt it directly at electrical connections. They should all be weather sealed and waterproofed, but I'm always verging on caution in saying keep the high pressure water on the top of a panel and not on the electrics.
Do you know what? We may have stumbled on a business here. A business venture, not window cleaning, but
solar panel cleaning,
because let's be honest, they are going to be a little bit higher than your windows.
They are a little bit higher than your windows. I don't think it's something I'll be going out and doing.
No, I don't think it's something. I don't like heights, so I don't think I'll be doing it.
That's not on my list of things.
But if I've got a big pole, but if there's anybody out there thinking, hey, look, you know, thinking about doing it, being a window cleaner, add that to your.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think you can then tap on a few quid for the windows, but the other bits and bobs too.
Yeah. And some of the window cleaning systems I've seen are incredible. You can go reach up a really long way with all of their pole systems, and they are far better than I think anything we've got to do ours at home.
How much have solar panels changed over the years? When you think of what, I mean, we've got a load on our roof now, and we bought them 2-3 years ago. So if you got them 20 years ago, would they still be as efficient, or as what we got now, much more efficient?
The modern solar panels now are far more efficient than ones from about 20 years ago. The efficiency of the panels will drop off a fraction over time, but it's more the design of them that has changed. So the panels that we've got on our roof, we had fitted, must be 5 years ago now, and the output at the time was some of the best you could get, which was 385 watts per panel. And the best on the market at the moment is somewhere between 500 and 550. So that's quite an increase per panel. And some of the panel sizes are slightly different, so you have to be careful that you're comparing like for like. So one thing we are considering in the next few years would be upgrading the panels on the roof, because we all have a fixed roof area. We can't make our roof any bigger. But if we can put panels up there that generate more energy, then especially in the winter, we could generate more of our own electricity at home to run the heating.
Does there come a time when you think, right, okay, my panels are 20 years old, it would pay me to get newer ones? Is that something, even though they might still be working as well as they did 20 years ago, but the ones that we've got now are far more efficient? So would it mean that people are now looking to change if they've got had them for 20 years plus?
Potentially, yes. The panels now compared to 20 years ago are most probably about double the output. So if you had a system that was generating 4 kilowatts 20 years ago, modern panels could get you up to 8 kilowatts. So there is this efficiency increase, but you've also got to look at the cost of change and start putting the numbers into a spreadsheet, or get an installer to do that bit for you, to see how long it would take for you to earn that money back.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about the batteries as well? Because we look at the things on the roof, and you know, you're not going to get any bird poo on your battery. Well, you shouldn't do. But does that over a period of time? Just say, for instance, if you got a battery from 20 years ago, I'm not sure when batteries were brought in with regards to solar panels. But I mean, you know, are they as effective as, or do they lose their effectiveness over the years?
Batteries lose their effectiveness over the years. With every cycle that they're charged up and discharged, that will affect their efficiency. Again, there is no easy answer. But if you've got batteries from 20 years ago, I'd definitely look at modern batteries. The control systems are far better. The capacity has improved, and the amount that you can actually discharge it has improved. Because with the old batteries, they would say you shouldn't discharge it below 20%. So say it was a 10 kilowatt battery, that you could only actually use 8 kilowatts of that 10. The modern batteries are far better on that, and some of them you can take right down to zero. So you're actually being able to use all of the capacity that you've got.
That makes sense. It's fascinating, isn't it? When you think about it, I know that we're going to come on to funding in a minute, but would there be any sense in having funding in the future for people that have old systems on their roof, or are we only going for people that want new stuff?
In an ideal world, we would be able to fund upgrades for people that have old stuff on their roof. The way the funding works is that it's targeting the least efficient properties first. So that typically wouldn't include people that already have the panels on their roof. It's all done on the energy performance rating of a property. So if your property is a D or lower, that means your property could be eligible. As soon as you start putting solar panels on the roof or a battery in or upgrading the heating, you'll improve that energy efficiency, so you may not be a D anymore. And as I say, when they're looking at allocating the funding for grants, they do look at the worst performing properties first, because that's the people that can make the biggest savings.
I think that's right as well. And let's be honest, I don't think there's enough people that have got solar panels yet anyway. So I think it is about addressing the system, the people that haven't got them. I think that's the most important thing. Those people that have already got them, they're contributing anyway with savings in many ways. But at some point, when everyone's got solar panels on, and I think we're a long way off that, because walk around the Carisbrook estate and I think there's not a lot. It's not a massive amount. Every now and again, you get like two or three houses together that have got like 16 panels between them and so on. But there's not enough taking up the opportunity of having them on their roof. So I think we've got to really start thinking about it.
We have. And I think some of the new building regulations will help, where now new properties that are being built will have to have solar panels on them. I think the plug-in solar that's coming out will help, because not everybody is eligible for a grant. And I know in the government's way of thinking, if you're not eligible for a grant, you should be able to afford it. But most people can't, because I'm yet to find somebody that's got a few thousand pounds stuck down the back of the sofa.
Yeah.
So there's a huge number of people that fit into this gap in the middle that may be able to afford £400 or £500, but can't afford £4,000 or £5,000. So to have the plug-in system, I think, will benefit so many people. And if you've got a garage or a shed, you could put one of the panels on that and just plug it into your garage or shed. If you live in a flat and you've got a balcony, you could attach it to your balcony front and plug it in. So it's opening it up to so many more people that wouldn't have been able to have kind of a traditional rooftop solar.
It makes sense. It really does. Do you know what I'd love to see? We should start a campaign. You and me, we could start it, because you've got solar panels, we've got solar panels too. Instead of us, and I'm not saying you do this, but instead of us putting pictures of our dinner on social media, it's a case of, it's a sunny day and you take a picture of your roof saying, money's rolling in, and it will how are you doing that? Right, okay, then I want to look into that, and I want to do, maybe there's an advert there, maybe there's a commercial there, but rather than boasting about what you're having for your tea, I'm boasting about the fact that it's been sunny all day, and at the end of this day I might be not using any electric that I'm paying for.
Yeah, I mean, last month our total energy bills for a month were £25. And that includes running both cars. So no gas, no oil, no petrol, no diesel, just £25.
That's a Facebook post, if ever I've seen one. But the unfortunate thing is, there'll be people that will be, I don't know, they'll show you some animosity out of jealousy and so on, which is a sad thing. But the desired effect would be, here, hang on a minute, two cars, electric, got the sunshine, there's plenty of it on the way. God, it must be so, cheap for her to run all of that. God, let's look into it. That's what should happen.
I think it's thinking and planning we need to get in place in our own lives. So if you have, or when you're moving, if you're looking at buying a house, look at its energy performance rating. Look at that before you buy it rather than after. Look at, if we're moving and where we're moving to doesn't have solar panels, can we put an extra little bit on the mortgage to get all of that fitted when we move in? So it's this forward thinking we need to start doing, so that it becomes normal.
Yeah,
and
I
you've
think
got
so.
Places like Nationwide who do, I think, low interest or 0% loans for you if you want to fit solar panels. It's not the easiest of processes from people that I know that have been through it, but it gives you an affordable way to access those savings. And we're starting to see now that houses that have low running costs through renewable energy and efficient heating systems, that's starting to add value to the property. I know going back 10 years, everyone was worried about buying a house that had solar panels on it because you might not have owned your roof, whatever the issues were. But we've gone past that now, and we're now looking at what benefits does that give you. If you're moving into a house that's got this technology already, your running costs for that property are going to be so much lower.
Yeah, sure. And I'd say whenever we look at our house sometimes, because it was built in 1965, there's all sorts of things that we look at and think, yeah, if you was in a brand new house, you'd have this, you'd have that, and you wouldn't have the problems, some of the problems that you've got. So that is, we're not in the process of looking to move, but every now and again I do look at other properties, and it's one of the first things I look at is what's the energy rating. So yes, good energy rating is A, isn't it? That's the best one.
Yes.
And which one, obviously, anything lower than a C, I would imagine it's...
D is meant to be average.
Right.
If you want to be able to rent the property at the moment, it has to be an E or better. But that's changing. We've got the minimum energy efficiency standards coming in for rented properties. So anything that you rent will need to be a C or better, because that has a direct impact on people's lives. So if you're renting a property that's E rated, your bills are going to be higher. And if you don't have the money to pay them, you're going to end up living in a home that you can't afford to heat. It's as simple as that, really. Whereas if the energy rating is higher, if you're a B or C, and you've got the same amount of spare money, you may be able to afford to heat that property properly so that it doesn't impact your health and gives you a far nicer place to live.
I mean, it's common sense, isn't it? I mean, just say, for instance, if people now are watching what they eat, there's a stuff that's got to be on the packaging of food.
Yeah.
And if you're buying, just say, for instance, I have, in the last little while, I've been looking at buying a new screen at home for a computer, and I'm looking, and they range anything like from G to E, and I'm now paying more attention to that. Why would I want to buy G? G sounds like it's going to eat through the electric and so on, because it's slightly bigger screen. And there's all these things that you can look at now, and it's like, do you think there's enough, though? When you just say, for instance, if you wanted to go and buy a microwave, is there enough detail in when you look at buying the microwave? What sort of, is there a rating for that you would look at and think, yeah, that'll do for me?
There is always an energy rating on products, but that doesn't tell you the whole story. If you look, and there should, in theory, be another card with that, that gives you how much energy that will use to run a kind of on average, either per year or per 100 hours or per however many cycles. And that's a bit really to look at. Because when we've looked at different washing machines, for example, something can be the same energy rating band, but there can be a huge difference between the amount of energy it actually uses. So dig down and look into it a little bit more, and you'll see how much per year or per 100 cycles that particular machine uses, and use that as a comparison.
I know we've touched on this before, but there's loads of other things that we probably haven't discussed that are things like charging your phone, things like charging up a battery, all the things that we might do on a daily basis and not be actually aware of just how much juice it actually uses up. I know we've gone in the kitchen in the past, and we've talked about microwaves, we've talked about the little ovens, the air fryers and things like that. But I think there's loads of other things, like if you're buying a television, what should it be? What sort of ratings should it be? So will you come back next month and do that?
Yes.
Okay, that's because I say people need to know what they're buying. What, you know, if you're going to buy this, this is going to cost you a bit more than if you buy that because of the energy rating. But you've got to know what you're looking for and how it all affects everything.
Yeah.
So we mentioned funding.
Yes.
How many people are taking up the funding? Is there a general are there enough people taking it up, or is it a struggle?
There are enough people taking up the funding at the moment for the amount of money there is available.
Right.
Now, this is government speak, really, isn't it? What that means is that there is quite a backlog. We've got a long list of people that have applied for funding who are on a waiting list. Because, believe it or not, we're waiting for central government to get their act together. They've announced their Warm Homes Plan. They've announced £5 billion going into making everyone's homes better. But they still haven't said how that money is going to get out to people. So it's all very well announcing these brilliant headline figures. But without the plan behind it, and without actually implementing the plan, it doesn't make a difference. I had a meeting about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago with the people that handle the funding, and they're waiting to hear from central government as to is there going to be more funding available for this coming year. They're hopeful, they think there will be, but until that money is signed off and released, then they can't make any promises to people.
But the good thing is, there are people that are taking you up on it. And,
yes.
And that means you can go back to them and say, because the first thing they would say, if nobody took you up on it, first thing they would say is, nobody wants it.
Yeah. And the problem we've got is quite the reverse at the moment.
Good.
I think, especially with the oil prices and energy prices still being high, the energy prices go up again in July. The different thing that I've noticed this time is that gas is going to go up by 24%, but electricity is only going up by 5%. So we're starting to narrow that gap between pricing of gas and electric.
Good. I mean, I filled up my car this morning. I've only got a little smart car, so I don't fill it up very often. Normally 2-3 months, and I run it down to the last bubble on the dashboard, and I'd get to the same point every time, and it was £5 more to fill it up this time.
Yeah.
So it is going up, and last time it was £4 more, so it is going up like a pound a quarter at the moment. So for me it is. I mean, it's different. I did come out and feel a bit smug, because I'm sat there in my little miniature car, and I'm watching all these big cars filling up, and I'm thinking, how much money have you got?
It's the impact it has on small businesses. And if you're a guy who's a plumber or an electrician going round in your diesel van, and you're driving round the island all day, and you're having to fill up once a week, and the cost increase is horrendous, and that has such an impact on people's incomes.
Yeah.
That increase in cost will have to be passed on to people, so we'll see the cost of everything going up.
Hey, look, we've run out of time, but thank you for coming in today. Have you ever been asked about, bird poo on panels before, and whether or not it...
No.
No. There you go, that's a first.
It certainly is.
And you're going to come back next time. We're going to give you some advice on what to buy, not just in the kitchen when you're buying electrical appliances, but elsewhere as well. Your televisions, your computers, computer screens,
and
charging
also
points.
How to compare and the things to look for.
Which is really important. Brilliant. Thank you. Have a good month.
Thank you.
See you in July.
Yes.